There are many feminine images of God throughout Scripture. Were you aware of all the images throughout Scripture that describe this feminine side of God? How many of you are familiar with all those images? As Jim was reading the text this morning, what did that surface for you? Did it surface anything? Are you comfortable with the feminine side of God? Are you comfortable with that? Does it push some buttons for you? It's interesting. I remember the first time that I heard someone refer to God as she, and I have to say I was uncomfortable. The statement was something like this: "Trust in God; she will provide." And I was like, "What? She will not, right?" Because I was used to these masculine images of God: Father, King, Jesus, Lord. He was way more familiar with those images. And I would have to tell you that I still feel most comfortable with the exclusively male language that describes God. It still kind of wigs me out a little bit when people make those kind of statements and refer to God as she. I'm way more comfortable with the masculine. But there's tension in my soul. That's the other confession. Because what Jim alluded to, that God is without gender. But we have these images in through Scripture that are given to us to help us understand God, help us understand the divine. But yet God transcends and yet includes what we know as male and female to describe himself. But clearly God uses both the masculine and the feminine language for God. But we naturally shy away from the feminine. Most of us gravitate to the masculine. I wonder, maybe you have a hard time kind of attributing a feminine side of God due to radical feminism and what that has looked like in our culture, in our broader culture. That when you hear statements like this, you immediately go, there's those feminists again. Now they're actually muddling things up in the church. Yeah. And so we react. We pull away. As I read some reflections on a lady by the name of Margot Hoots, she's the professor of religion and theology, and she says this about her own experience of this. She pondered what it was about her social location, us being West Coast, British Columbia, what about our social location that made the feminine language for God strike her or strike us as diminishment rather than enrichment? Is there something about this feminine side of language that describes God that in our minds detracts from who God is rather than enriches? I wonder. Do you have that same idea? That to embrace the feminine side of God is to somehow diminish our idea of God? Or do we believe, honestly, that it will nourish our understanding of God? Makes me ponder, is our understanding of God lacking? Is there something that is not as whole and complete as a result of neglecting this feminine side of God? Let me read a quote about the Book of Confessions, the Presbyterian Church, who began to incorporate biblical inclusivity in their confessionals in 1990. And it says this statement, and I'm curious what it will evoke in you. This is in their confessions. Like a mother who will not forsake her nursing child, like a father who runs to welcome the prodigal home, God is faithful still. Does that enrich your understanding of God, or does that detract? Enriches. Isn't that beautiful? I love that statement. Like a mother who will not forsake her nursing child, like a father who runs to welcome the prodigal home, God is faithful still. I wonder if we open ourselves up to a more complete understanding of God, yes, the feminine side of God, would we be more complete as people? more clearly reflecting God's love. So let's look at a few texts throughout Scripture and see what God does to our hearts, how He enriches our hearts as we reflect on these images. The first image I want to reflect on, very fitting, in light of Danny and Lindsay having their baby, little Kyla, is first God as mother. God is mother. Isaiah 42:14. Listen to this verse. He will say, I have long been silent. Yes, I have restrained myself, but now like a woman in labor, I will cry and groan and pant. I will level the mountains and hills and blight all their greenery and will turn the rivers into dry land and will dry up all the pools. That's quite an image, is it not? It's interesting that Calvin first said that he thought this image was talking about the tenderness of God. I don't think so, actually. Here we see the forceful breath of God, an image of divine power. This isn't maternal tenderness. This is likened to the blast of an erupting volcano. That's the picture. It's the power that levels trees. It's the power likened to the forceful air expelled from the lungs of a woman who's in the final throes of labor. And the context of this text is that the Israelites are now in exile. And their disobedience, their neglect of walking in the ways of Yahweh led them to exile. And here's this reminder of God's passion for justice and passion for His children. It's this kind of passion that will level trees. He is a force to be reckoned with. I wonder, maybe this verse actually pushes a button for you. Maybe you experience this kind of anger in your parents. People often express anger either like a brick in the oven. They get angry over time, over a slow extended period of time, years and years, and they become very angry. Some express anger like a volcano. It erupts and everybody else, the person that erupts feels good, feels better, but everybody else suffers the fallout. Many of us have experienced this kind of anger. That's not what this is talking about. This is righteous anger. This is God's passion for His children, God's passion for justice. Our anger is often misdirected and misidentified. God's anger is different. It's interesting that this is the language that God's Spirit inspired His chosen writers to use to describe something of God's character. But we're also given this opposite image of God. It's a picture of a nursing mother. Isaiah 49 says, yet Jerusalem says, the Lord has deserted us, the Lord has forgotten us. Never can a mother forget her nursing child. Can she feel no love for the child she has born? But even if that were possible, I would not forget you. Such a beautiful picture of God's love for us, His children. See, His children were in exile. They're away from the temple, away from God, and their worry, their concern, they could have easily understood their experience to mean that God had abandoned them, that had forgotten them. But here, God is reminding them, no, I cannot forget you. I will not forget you. That God had not forgotten them. What can be closer than the bond of a mother and a baby? Especially a nursing child. Science has told us that how important this bond is, that strong ties between parents and their children provide the first model for intimate relationships and foster a sense of security and positive self-esteem. God uses this connection to affect a child's social and cognitive development. Science also would tell us that without this healthy connection, infants often suffer from despair. We're created for this kind of connection. This is what we're made for. We're made for this kind of connection with our earthly mothers, but more than that, God is using this language to communicate to us that even more still, we are created for this kind of intimate connection with God. This is what each of us were created for. This is our ultimate soul craving, to be connected to God in this way. That's why we were all created, for this kind of connection. But no matter how good our parents were or how healthy our early bonding or attachment was, parents will never do this perfectly. That's why we need God. That's why God has included, I believe, these promises all through Scripture. Let me ask you, when was the last time you saw a mother living out her maternal impulse? As I was in Danny and Lindsay's home, just watching Lindsay with little Kyla. It was a beautiful reminder of me, again, last week, of just the care and the nurture and the all that is reflected in a mom as she cares for her child and how that speaks to my own soul. I'll never forget the God moment that I experienced as a new dad watching Kenda care for Luke when he was wounded. He had a number of probably three significant wounds as he was quite little. And physical wounds, and the tenderness and the care as I was watching Kenda in this particular time care for Luke, I was brought to tears. It was this God moment. I don't even think Kenda was aware of what was going on for me in my own heart, but God was doing this healing work in my emotional side. There were some memories and things that God was healing, and as I was watching her, it was like the Holy Spirit said to me, "And that's how I care for you. That's how I'm caring for you right now." I couldn't have gained that understanding of God's compassion and care and comfort for me but for that experience. So the question I have for you, how has your experience with your own mother shaped your perception of God? How has your experience with your own mother shaped your perception of God? It had to have shaped it. Whether positive or negative, it had to have shaped it. We're all been shaped by our experiences. You know, if we've had a negative experience, it can also so color our perception of God, can't it? But this is the truth of how God sees you today. That God loves you, cares for you, surrounds you, and nurtures you. It's a powerful image in Isaiah of God's bond of compassion and maternal bond to protect Israel's rescue plan, which applies to you and I. It's Isaiah 46, 3 and 4. "Listen to me, descendants of Jacob, all you who remain in Israel. I have cared for you since you were born. Yes, I carried you before you were born. I will be your God throughout your lifetime until your hair is white with age. I made you and I will care for you and I will carry you along and save you." The context here is so rich. If we don't understand the context, we miss the power of this text. The context of the surrounding nations at that time were idol worshippers. And they carried their idols, their foreign gods, on the back of their oxen. That's how they carried their gods. And yet this text is that God is too big for us to carry. In fact, He carries us. He carries us in His womb. Isn't that beautiful? We are carried by Him. What a contrast. This is our God, a tender, loving God who carries us close. And it's not cool or cold. This is warm, surrounding care. Christ all around us, over top of us, underneath us, carrying us. You know, throughout the Bible, God is described as compassionate. In Hebrew, the original language of the Old Testament, it's this word, reham. You know what the word is? It's also the word for womb. So God is compassionate. God is womb-like. Surrounding us. Holding us, caring for us, nurturing us. This is God's love for you. And He hasn't forgotten about you. He's a God of compassion who longs to redeem and to restore, who envelops you in His love, nurture, and care. I wonder if this image, just this idea of God's compassion being womb-like, I wonder what that does for you. What does it evoke in you? Any thoughts, feelings, responses?
It's what I cling to. Hmm. It's my only hope.
Yeah. So I love that song that you chose today, Christ All Around Us, right? The picture that I have is, that's like a womb. It's around us. It's around, it's completely enveloped. Yeah. Anybody else?
Mm-hmm.
Forever. Yeah, forever. Yeah, always present. Yeah. But maybe this hasn't been our experience. Maybe our earthly experience has now colored our understanding of God, and maybe this actually pushes our buttons. Perhaps it also surfaces some shame in us for how maybe we have parented or lacked in our parenting, and we say to ourselves, man, I didn't parent that way. My love is so fallen short. But isn't it good that God offers us His grace, and He knows our love will always fall short, but His love will never fall short. God provides compassion and care. Beautiful text in Hosea 11, 3 and 4. When Israel was a child, I loved him and I called my son out of Egypt. But the more I called, the farther he moved from me, offering sacrifices to the images of Baal and burning incense to idols. I myself taught Israel how to walk, leading him alone by the hand. But he doesn't know or even care that it was I who took care of him. And I love this. I led Israel along with my ropes of kindness and love. I lifted the yoke from his neck, and I myself stooped to feed him. Beautiful picture of God calling, teaching, holding, healing, and feeding. Again, here the context is rich. The Canaanite fertility goddess was all about promising fertility and blessing and crops and children. And here is God that is painted with such a beautiful picture of so much more than that. Another question: when you hear that God is compassionate, what stories from Scripture come to your mind? What stories from Scripture come to your mind when you hear and be reminded of God's compassion for you? Any stories?
Prodigal son.
Yeah. Just waiting. A father running. Yeah, beautiful picture. Any other stories?
Story of Joseph.
Mm-hmm. The shepherd? The good shepherd, John 10, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And Boaz, what a picture of Christ, right? That's just, that cares for her, yeah, provides. Pardon me? With Thomas, yeah. See here my hands and my feet, yeah, yeah. Any other stories? Yeah. He who is without sin cast the first stone. Yeah. Beautiful. Yeah, it's really cool that the writer of Hebrews says that Jesus is the exact representation of God. Boy, if we're confused about who God is, let's run to Jesus. How does Jesus reflect God's love? You ever considered how Jesus treated women in the Gospels? He valued their voice in a male-dominated culture where women had lost their voice. Jesus validated the feminine. It's just interesting that as that it was women who supported Jesus' ministry. It was women who were first to the empty tomb. It was Mary who sat at Jesus' feet to be taught by Jesus, her rabbi. She understood full well that because she was free to sit at his feet, that would imply that one day she would teach others. For me, it's like Jesus is saying, if you don't have her leadership, if you don't have her wisdom, her voice, her perspective, you're not just missing her, you're missing something central to the very core of who I am, who God is. In the church, in the world, if we miss that aspect of God, we're missing something to the core of who God is and to who we are. I want to say this. As a woman, you need to know that you're not a second-class citizen in the church and in God's kingdom. In this kingdom community, we can celebrate one another's differences and diversity and uniqueness and creativity. And together, embracing more of who God created us to be, we are something beautiful together. Because Genesis 1:27 says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them." So together, male and female, we reflect God's image. So if we lose the feminine voice, we miss something huge. So two questions. First one, so how does your view of women affect your view of God? How does your view of women affect your view of God? It's likely a question not just to be answered here, something without really pondering the depth of that, because that's a significant question. How does our view of women affect our view of God? Here's the second question. How does your view of God affect your view of women? Some good questions to ponder. See, all through Scripture, we see the male and female side of God. See, sure, Luke 15 talks about God as Father in the prodigal son story, and of God as masculine in the parable of the shepherd. At that time, shepherds were not girls, they were boys. They needed to manage their sheep, rescue them from wolves. It's not very often shepherds were feminine, were women. Those are two masculine images, but there's a third. It's paired, the trio is this feminine image of God as woman seeking the lost coin. You see, Jesus, I love it. Jesus is teaching all through the Galilean countryside and drawing from normal day, everyday experiences of Galilean peasantry and peasant life. And he would have been pulling these experiences and drawing from these all around him. Mothering images. And so often, I think, in our Christian experience, we've mainly focused on the masculine. But maybe you're sitting here and you're going, I don't relate. I'm not a mom. All these mothering images doesn't really resonate. But there's so many more. In Nehemiah 9:21, God is a seamstress making clothes for a business. Psalm 22, we see God as a midwife attending birth. Luke 13, we see God as a woman working leaven into bread. You see, some women are mothers, but some aren't. Some run companies, some stay home, some live out individual roles, others break all sorts of new ground, and it's all a reflection of the wonderful creativity and diversity of who you are and who God is. So I wonder how God is speaking to you this morning. You know, it's true that God is everywhere speaking to us, and if we have ears, we can hear him speak. Maybe as you go see a new mom, you can see God, and God speaks to you. And maybe as you see your wife tend to your children, and their nurturing, compassionate heart, and that speaks to you. But maybe those images don't speak to you. There are other images. Maybe for some of you, you walk through nature and you see the birds and you see the mountains, and maybe that's what speaks to you about who God is. And it's beautiful, some of the images we see through Scripture of nature. There's this picture of the bald eagle. Jim read that text. There's another one in Deuteronomy 32. And here the King James got it right, and I love it. It says this, as an eagle, pardon the language, as an eagle stirreth up her wings, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings, so the Lord alone did lead Jacob. It's unfortunate some of the other translations now switch it to the masculine. But the language is the feminine. And maybe you need that reminder that it's a female eagle who was larger and stronger than the male and did the bulk of the work and the incubation of the leg of the eggs. She is also the one who carries the eaglets on her wings when it's time for them to leave the nest. In a sudden movement, she swoops down to force them to fly alone, but always staying near to swoop back under them when they become too weary to fly on their own. And maybe that's the image you need to see and hear today. This picture of God allowing you, teaching you to fly, putting you in situations where you are spreading your wings and you feel like you're all alone, but God's there. He's under you, carrying you. A beautiful picture. Supporting you when you're weak, when it seems that you can't go on your own, or perhaps the image of a God who is always there to encourage us to grow and mature, always putting us into challenging circumstances to push us out of our comfort zone, but He's always there, reassuring you, I won't let you down. I've got you. Exodus 19:4 says, I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. But maybe it's not an eagle. Last week, I went to Rolf and Christine's their house, and they're looking at their farm and the roosters and the hens and the goats. And man, they've got quite a farm there up there in Paradise Valley. And maybe it's not an eagle. Maybe it's a hen. Jesus drew from this metaphor in Matthew 23, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often have I gathered, longed to gather you as children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not come. This is his lament over Jerusalem. But here Jesus employs the feminine, and I love how Margot Hoots puts it. She says, whereas the magnificent eagle is associated with light and sun and height and mobility and exteriority, the lowly hen is associated with the shadows and darkness of the hen house, and with depth and stillness and interiority beneath the mothering wings. Maybe that's where you are these days. Maybe you don't feel like you're soaring on heights. Maybe you feel like you're in the dark hen house. Maybe somebody's turned the lights out. And you need a reminder that God is with you. You might not be soaring new heights, stretched to new growth and maturity, but you need to be reminded that in the shadows, in the lowlands, God is with you. That God is with you. I don't know how the Holy Spirit is speaking to you today. Did you know this, that the Holy Spirit is in the feminine in Hebrew? Throughout Scripture, the Holy Spirit had all sorts of functions. And so maybe like John 3, God is birthing something new in you. As I was praying for you this week, I had this picture of John 3. And unless you be born again by God's Spirit, you will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. I had a sense that God is, some of you are in that birthing process. You are about to be born again by God's Spirit. It's a difficult place to be before that birth happens. pain is often happens before birth. It always happens before birth. Maybe the Holy Spirit is consoling you today, comforting you, reminding you that He's with you. Maybe He's healing you, healing some part of your understanding of Him. Maybe you sense emotional warmth, the sense of His closeness, His presence. That maybe for the first time you're reminded that God is not aloof. He's not standing off at a distance. He's up close and personal. He's like a womb enveloping you, surrounding you, loving on you. Maybe there's new inspiration, motivation to obedience, some step of faith in some area. You have a sense that God will carry you and He's got you, but He's teaching you something new. You are soaring. Maybe He's kicked you out of the nest. Maybe He's using some difficulty in your circumstance to kick you out of the nest because you need to soar. Press into that new place of growth and maturity. Maybe you need to be reminded today of the womb-like nature of God. So let me close with a blessing. I'm going to bless you in this way. So this Mother's Day, may you embrace the God who is bigger than any of our language. May you celebrate all the images and pictures and metaphors that better help you understand God and what God is like. And may you be comforted as a mother comforts a child. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for these texts. Some of them are familiar to us and some of them are new. But Lord, we thank you, Holy Spirit, for how you can take your word and speak to our hearts. And you know exactly what we bring to the table. You know our wounds. You know our past experiences. Our growing up experiences with our earthly moms, good and bad. We thank you, Lord, for how you've used them in our lives to shape us and mold us and to reflect you. And for those ways and those places that maybe they didn't reflect you very well, we thank you, Lord, that you are there to heal and to restore and to redeem. And so we pray, Lord, that you would do that work in us. Lord, maybe there's been a text or maybe there's been a question that we need to ponder. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would draw us back to this text, these texts this week, and continue to teach us and transform us after your likeness. Would you do that work in us? We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.